Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. And also, thank you once again for the great response to the last episode with guest Jack Krueger doing his first interview. I'm so happy that everyone was excited and enjoyed hearing Jack. The interview went great. I was so excited myself to do that interview, and it was so much fun. Jack will be back on the show in the future to tell more stories. The train keeps a rolling. This episode, my guest is none other than the Boogie Woogie Man, Handsome Jimmy Valiant. And I just had limited time with Jimmy, and of course, I could have talked to him for hours. So, because I had limited time and I didn't have hours, we focused in on his time in Indianapolis working for the WWA and Dick the Bruiser. I know that's no shock that that would be what I would want to focus in on, but that's what we talked about. So let's get right to it. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have my interview with Handsome Jimmy Valiant.
Phil Center Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilSingerGames.com to order now.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams.
At this time, I'm being joined by a WWE Hall of Famer, the Boogie Woogie Man, Handsome Jimmy Valiant. Sir, how are you?
Whew, mercy. First of all, Dave Dynasty, I want to tell you something, man. I listen to your show every chance I get, brother, man. You got the hottest thing going, brother, the hottest thing in the nation, Jack. Hey, I'm really proud of you. Hey, if I ever meet you in person, hey, I will say I'm a big fan. I want your autograph. I'll take a picture with you, baby. Hey, man, hey, I'll tell you something. Just keep up the good work, what you're doing, man. And I'll tell you, I really, really enjoy it. Because you're so knowledgeable, you know, in our business, man. And this is what I love. I love. Right now, you know, I've been wrestling 62 years. Started wrestling 1964, Dave. And of course, you know, all I want to do now is just be a goodwill ambassador for us. Me and Angel, my lovely wife, we tried to figure out how many matches I had, Dave, in 62 years. Oh. And from 64. And we figured roughly like over 15,000. And I just had my last dance, as you know, a few weeks ago. And so I had 15,000 and something. So I'm done getting in that square circle, baby.
Well, that's unbelievable, Boogie. And I just want to, you know, like you said, such a long career. So I just want to focus in. I just want to talk about handsome Jimmy Valiant in Indianapolis, if you don't mind. We could talk forever if we try to cover your whole career. So we're going to zone in a little bit. And
yes,
so after high school, you worked at a health club that was owned by Frank Zella, who was otherwise known as Boris Volkoff. And Mr. Zella helped you break into pro wrestling. So tell us a little about that, Boogie.
Yeah, you know, I started wrestling or working out, you know, when I was like 12 years old. And by the time I got around 16, I played football, you know, in grade school and high school. But by the time I got 16, I was wanting to find a gym and work out. So I found him. And I started that. I just walked in, man. You know, I ain't got no money, man. I'm just trying to make it, man, in school, make it an athlete. But I wanted to train. You know, I was training at home, didn't have no equipment or nothing. And, you know, I said, hey, brother, hey, I'll sweep your floor, man. Hey, I'll pick up all of it because there's towels everywhere in the where they showered and they just threw them on the floor. I said, I'll do all this. I'll mop. I'll do this. You know, I'll work for you just to work out, you know. And he said, hey, that's fine. And so I just got tight with him. So after I got out of high school, I started working for him full time. And then I was his manager of the Acres. He was old-time wrestler and Frank Zella. And then when Nikolai Volkoff, he came. He was him and Boris, his other partner. This Frank Zella wasn't the original Boris Volkoff, but Steve Cobb was Nikolai's name. Now I'm not talking about Nikolai Volkoff for the people that out there, you know, that teamed up with the Sheik in the 70s and there. Yeah, I'm talking about the original Nikolai Volkoff. And the Boris, they were hot in the 40s, 50s, you know, 60s, and on top, man. And so he had a job. He retired, and he had a job out in the tugboat as a captain. And he took 6 months off, and from the tugboat business, and he wanted one more run. And he knew. He knew, of course. You know, he knew. Frank Zella, and Frank looked like a Russian, had a big barrel chest, and you can look up their pictures, man, and they were both really, yeah. In fact, Steve Gobb, he went to our Olympics for us and won a silver medal as a weightlifter, so he had a good body, good chest, and it was a perfect fit for two Russians, and they did, they went around the loop. Well, when they started, then he says, hey, Jimmy, you know, you're young, you're good looking, you got nice hair, brother, you know, good body, you should do this, you know. So he's the one that, you know, got me into it. And it just fell in my lap, man, you know. And before long, I know, I'm just weeks, man, I was wrestling, you know. I couldn't tie my shoes. I didn't know nothing. But the old timers, you know, they took me under their wings. And You know, at that time there was no wrestling schools. There was a few, a couple. You know, one I think in St. Louis, and one in somewhere else I heard. But I never heard of any. But the way you got in was you couldn't be a wise guy. You know, Dave. You got to be really respectful, and which I was, man. And these guys, they all had cauliflower ears and big crooked nose and big necks, man. And I mean, hey, they could really hurt you, you know, if you was a wise guy and thought you knew everything. And But they took me under their wing, and they just took care of me and broke me in, and hey brother, everybody beat me on TV, brother man, you know everybody, and they seen some potential in there, and then all of a sudden they started letting me, you know, win a couple, and then they said we got to get him out of here before he gets labeled, just you know, because we beat him so much, and so. So that's how that all started right there. You know, there's guys, man, you know, like when they did start having these wrestling camps, you know, like I got one here in Charlottesville, Virginia, you know, and Hall of Fame Museum called Boogie's Wrestling Camp. Just look it up. Come any Sunday, 12 to 4, be my guest. No ticket to buy. Just be my guest. Watch them train, free matches, and you go in all the buildings. You got full access. But any Sunday, 52 Sundays a year. But like Ganya had a school later on. Yeah. And also, Dave, real fast, and then in Florida, you know, Eddie Graham did. And they, in fact, they broke Hulk Hogan's leg, you know.
And then
they broke a couple guys' arms and shoulders, man, for Ganya, you know, because they had all the shooters there. Billy Robinson and of course then they brought in the Iron Sheik and he was training them guys and he was the Olympic champion over in Iran and he really was, and then over in Florida, you know, they had shooters there too, you know, that hurt you, brother. If you thought you was if you didn't listen or thought you knew it all or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And early in your career, you worked around several territories. You had your first run with Bruiser. You worked for different places. But then you went to Dallas, which is really memorable because working there for Fritz Von Erich, that's when you became Jimmy Valiant. Jimmy Valiant. So tell us about that and getting the name Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah. Yeah. The first day, you know, they called me. I was in Oklahoma and for Watts, and they just bought in. Ganya, Watts, and Fritz bought in to they're in Oklahoma and so the territory so I was 3 months and they were just working me and beating me on TV still, because this was just still I'm on the road and still doing it and so then they call me in Dallas because they see me on TV, and of course Fritz owned part of that territory, you know. So when I went in, then the first day, he says, Jimmy, come in. This was Monday. He says, come in Monday at the sportatorium, and you know, I for a little get together meeting, and I just got in town there and got my family settled in, you know, and everything, got an apartment and everything, so everything so fast and. And so, boom, so I show up, and then he sits down, and he says, sit down, son, and then he's behind his desk. He says, I mean, this happened this fast, Dave, just in minutes. He says, we got to change your name. I said, okay. You know, he's my boss, brother. He said, yeah. I went in as handsome, I'm sorry. I went in as Jimmy the Body Valen.
Yep.
Valen.
Yep.
Valen.
Valen.
Valen. And he says, he says, Jimmy Valen is too close to Johnny Valentine. Because Johnny Valentine was there in the territory at that time. And he was the hottest heel man, the hottest thing ever. You know, of course, that's Greg's father. And I says, okay. And he says, your name is Handsome Jimmy Valiant. And he says, and I'm gonna work you a heel, work you a bad guy, and oh man, that's what I wanted to do, because before Bruiser and every, I was a good guy, and I wanted to be a bad guy so bad, what got me was all I heard was, I didn't even hear the name, all I heard was that you're gonna work you as a heel, and I said, oh man, I was so happy, but afterward I said, you know, Jimmy Valiant and Johnny Valentine, there's not too much difference either. But he named me Handsome Jimmy Valiant, and that's the name that stuck. And I had quite a few names. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, after leaving there, you're right. You had a good run in New York. But I'm gonna focus on you after that run in New York. You came back to Indianapolis in the early 70s. And at that time, you were managed by Bobby Heenan. So tell us about working with Bobby Heenan.
Oh, man, pretty boy. Pretty boy, Bobby
Heenan. Pretty boy, yeah.
That's him, Jimmy. And, you know, at that, it was around, 73, seemed like. It was the best year, and they had the best talent, Bruiser did, at that time. And I just, I just came out of New York, man, and I got back in there, and, you know, I already went to Japan for 8 weeks, and so, you know, where you got all your publicity, first of all, is in New York. And the first time in there, before, in the early 70s, I was on Bill Apter and George Politano. They put me on like 15 different covers, you know, of magazines, man. And I'm just a young kid in Madison Square Garden, brother on top, man. It's just unbelievable. And Boston Gardens and Philadelphia, oh my God, everywhere. There's where all the population is. And that's how this senior, he would say, hey, I play to the masses because there's so many people out there, see? But anyway, that's how you get all your. It was before cable where the whole world seen you. Where the whole world, the only way they would know is through magazine, because these magazines were around the world. So when I came back, man, they didn't remember, you know, me there when I was getting beat all the time and all that. Here I come on. They, oh, man, that's Handsome Jimmy from New York City. And, you know, it was just amazing. And they had, oh, my goodness, Pepper Gomez was there. And Bobby Heenan, he managed me. He managed Baron von Rothschild was there. Yeah, he managed Ernie Ladd. He managed all the heels. He managed Big Cat Ernie. Ivan Koloff. We had Bob Ellis. Oh man, you know, Sailor Art Thomas. We had what a crew we had.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, and during this time period, you were also working some through in Ontario for Dave the Bear Man.
You bet.
And that's where you met a guy named John L. Sullivan.
That's right.
And in 73, you and Bobby Heenan had the idea to bring Sullivan into Indianapolis, make him your brother as a Valiant. So tell us how that idea came about, how you pitched it to Bruiser and Snyder, and got it through.
You bet. The whole deal was Bobby's idea, because Bobby wanted to leave because he got his break with Bruiser. I got my break with Bruiser. We all, you know, if Roski got his break with Bruiser. In fact, I was just in last Saturday, this past Saturday, I was in New Jersey with, it was the 80 wrestling con there. And I'm sitting right on my table, just it was me and the Baron, and I've known him 60 years, man. God bless him. And he's broke down pretty well now, and he you know, really gets around slow, and I am too, of course. You know, I got everything wrong with me, but he's really ailing a little more. But he's 2 years older. He's 70. Uh-huh. He's 85. I'm 83. But anyway, God bless. We're getting back. It was Bobby's idea, he wanted to go to Vern Gagne, AWA. See, AWA sent all their tapes into Chicago, Bob Blues, and so did Dick the Bruce. They were partners. WWA and AWA was partners in Chicago only in the amphitheater. Now, that was our big show. That was our Madison Square Garden for Chicago. Yep. It was huge. And so we used both of the boys. So he wanted to go there, and he wanted to change his name, which he did, Bobby the Brain. He wanted to manage. It was all set with Vern, but he had okay with Dick. He was going to manage Bockwinkel. He was their AWA world champion. Dick says, okay, it's time to go. You can go, but you got to replace yourself with another top heel. The whole thing was, this is all politics, it's all business, brother. He's racking his brain. you know, this is all on Bobby. And he says to me, remember that young, big, good-looking kid, man? Man, you guys look just like together, like brothers, both blonde, big guys. Because at that time, you know, I had big muscles, and so did he. And he says, man, that'd be a good, valiant brother, you know, and Bob for you, brother. And that would replace me. And he says, you know, and he figured out where he was in Pittsburgh. And he was up there, and who helped him get in was Bruno Sammartino. They lived in North Hills, which is a suburb of there, the Pittsburgh. And so they contacted Pittsburgh and Bruno and Dick the Bruiser's wife, Rio. She's Italian. Yeah. And she always wanted Dick to bring Bruno in to meet him and, you know, be, you know, to be there in Indianapolis and WWE. So Dick got on the phone and he talked to him and he said, you got that kid, that John Sullivan, man, you know, and and he says, well, you know, we'd like to bring him in and make a valiant brother with Jimmy, Handsome Jimmy, and Bobby came up with the name Luscious Johnny, man. You know, and it was good, brother. We talked about Luscious Johnny coming in, and, you know, he's mean, he's green, but he's a machine, wrestling machine. Brother, man, hey, we told him, I said, hey, there's no difference between Luscious Johnny and Handsome Jimmy. The only difference is I'm not luscious, I'm just handsome, and Luscious, he's not handsome, he's just luscious. We're the valiant brothers, man. And we had so much heat on him. You know, and we walked, when he walked down, never did a TV, never did a, me and Bobby talked about him for about 3 weeks, and we had the big expo show. That was a big show there in Indianapolis. We walked down the aisle the first time, and I'll tell you this story, brother, man, that we wrestled the world champions, which was Wilbur Snyder and Pepper Gomez had the WWA world tag team belt. And so we went out there with Bobby, Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan, and Luscious Pretty Boy and Handsome, and we went down there, and, man, they booed. They're throwing beer. They're trying to burn us with cigarettes. And we're just getting to the ring. I mean, he had so much heat, he couldn't believe it, man. And we had the match, and we beat him for the belts. We walked out there with the belts, man, and this is so good. Man, it just warms my heart, breaks my heart, but whatever. It's just something that I never forgot. And that night, Bruiser paid. See, they would pay you every night there in territories, except with the Garden, Madison Square Garden, and the Boston Garden, and you'd get it in a check in a few weeks. But every territory, Texas, no matter where you went, Florida, I don't care where you wrestled, man, you know, San Francisco, Atlanta, every night you'd get paid cash. You know, after the matches, and they'd bring a case of beer out. All the boys grab a beer and wait till they cut that pie up. But that night, Bruiser handed me and handed Bobby and handed Johnny $1,000 because it was a big sellout, man. And he cried. He cried like a baby. He never made money like that in one night. And it just shows you what happened. But the deal was, if he brings him in, then Bruno, they're going to bring him in, and when we get a few months, bring Bruno in, and they're going to work it around where he teams up with Bruiser against the Valiant Brothers, you know, in Chicago and in Indianapolis, and so Rio could see and meet him. And you know, he was there, and so that happened. It was good.
Yeah, and you and Johnny, you had four runs as WWE tag champs, and like you said, one of those runs was in early '74, January '74. You won those titles from Bruiser and Bruno. And what even is makes that even more unique was at that time in that match, Bruno was the WWF World Champion. He had already regained that belt. That's pretty incredible.
It was first time ever, you know, in the Garden there, too. We did that with Chief James Strongbow, and We had two shots there in the Madison Square Garden with them, and Vince McMahon. See, I only worked for Senior, you know, as I told mm-hmm. you. Yeah, yeah. Yep. The first time I was there in the early 70s, Junior, which everybody knows the Vince McMahon now, you know, now. But he wasn't even there. He's still in college or just getting out. But when I came back in 73, 74, when we beat Dean Ho and we won the WWF Tag Team mm-hmm. Championship of Guerrilla. When we beat them, he was commentating and doing interviews. Yeah, Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when we came back, and I stayed there, 15 months every time. And you get all the publicity, all the newspaper, and before the – that's how you got world famous and world renowned and through the magazines. Now, they would take – Bruiser would be in, and, of course, all your biggest Dusty and different stars. But to really get on – and be covered up, man, and getting cover after cover, you have to be working for WWF. When Junior he changes to WWF, and then now then WWE, yes.
Like you said, right, you went back to New York every, I don't know, whatever, 4 or so years. You would always go back, kind of like clockwork. And then usually once that run was over, you would come back to Indianapolis for a run. But in, like you mentioned, around 74, when you were getting ready to go back to New York, you tell a story in your book where you're trying to give your notice to Wilbur Snyder, an 8-week notice, you said, and nobody would take your notice, right? They were just saying no. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, see, Wilbur Snyder was partners with Dick DeBruce WWA, and how they got that territory, WWA was out in California, you know, that was Los Angeles. Sure. WWA, that was their title and everything. He beat Blassie out there, and in a couple of weeks he was going to go back and have a rematch, you know, and he flew back home and he kept that title because who was running Indianapolis at that time was
Fred Kohler.
Jim Barnett. And so he just went to Australia and he left a mm-hmm. committee there to run that. And that's when Bruiser and his mother had real big in politics, and they got channel. Sure. They got the main channel there. And Dick the Bruiser had a meeting with all the boys. He was the hottest heel, not only there but in the country, brother, at that time.
Yeah.
And the hot baby face was Wilbur Snyder. Yeah. And he says, and they were partners. And so Wilbur and him, and they said, guys, you can do what you want to do. I just got this. He showed them the TV we're doing. He says you can stay and do with what you're doing, you know, for Barnett, their committee thing, or you can just come over on our side and make money because we're taking over. We start TV this week, and if you want to make money, big money, come with us or do what you want. Everybody just, you know, because Barnett was gone. They all went with Bruiser. And that's how he kept the belt, and it was WWA, and he had the world belt, and he never went back for a rematch, it's almost the same thing that happened, you know, when Buddy Rogers did that with Bruno Sammartino, you know, same thing. That he took that belt, he beat Thez, and he was supposed to come back for a rematch, and that's how you know when Vince Senior took over there and made the WWF and Bruno beat Nature Boy in just seconds, a backbreaker, and that was mm-hmm. it. And they combined the belt, and they just made their own belt, the world belt. And that's how that happened, and that's how Bruisers happened. So anyway, so me and Johnny took going back to New York. Here's your answer for that question. Bruiser was the man. In other words, Snyder would just kick back, and Bruiser was the boss. He did all the figuring. He did all the payoff. He did everything. And Snyder worked, and that's it. And he was getting his cut of the pie. But Bruiser was the boss, and he was the man. So he was in Florida. He had a condo in Florida, and he would go there all winter, and then he would just fly in for the big shows and TV on Tuesday, do all the interviews we did. So the whole thing was I wanted to give him a good head start. So I said, please, Wilbur, we're going to New York. It's all set, da-da-da. And he says, oh, geez. Oh, Jimmy, no, you got to talk to Bruce. I said, I understand. I will. But I want to give him a good head start, 8-week thing. And he says, oh, no, I can't accept it. I said, no. What I'm saying is call when you talk. I know you talk to him every day. Mention it to him, And then when he gets back, I'll see him, Saturday at the big show. He says, no, I ain't mentioned nothing. He says, you tell him Saturday at the big show. So he didn't want no part of it, baby.
Yeah.
And that Bruiser, let me tell you, is so funny because he kept booking us all the way up and even after. He was still booking us, but we gave her a note, we got to leave. We did.
Yeah.
He left and did her thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
well, as we start to wind down, I do want to mention, you came back around 77 in Indianapolis. I do want to mention, because at that time you were managed by Major Duke George. So tell us a little about Duke George.
Oh, brother, he was such a Chicago boy. I was already, came back later after that good run. And of course, he was such a fan. They brought him in because he had a good look. They made him Major Duke George and put riding pants on him, and oh yeah, he was a good thing. So when Bruiser told him that you're gonna manage the Valiant Brothers or me or whatever, oh, he just went nuts, man,
because
I was his idol and all this, oh man. But he was such a good guy it was just a great thing, and the young boys, they struggled, brother, man, just like I did. Hey, man, I'll tell you a story. Dick the Bruiser told me when I first started, he says, hey, first of all, people at factories, Dave, only make like $100 a week, at this time, early 60s. And they were making $3.08 an hour, because I worked in a little factory for one summer, and everybody in the whole plant it made the same, unless you were a master electrician or just a master of a plumber or whatever, and otherwise everybody made the same money, and $100 a week roughly, so he says, don't worry, Jimmy, he told me right away. He says, what you're going to make in Terre Haute or what you're going to make in Fort Wayne, don't you worry about what you're going to make here or there, spot shows, little shows. Sometimes we'd make $15, sometimes we'd make $30, sometimes, $45, but he says, but just count everything up at the end of the week. That's what you see. So don't never say nothing about no payoff until you see that final what you made. And so everybody's making $100 roughly, a regular job. So we'd get the $15, $20 payoff and $40 payoff. But how he did it was every Saturday we had a big show, either Hammond Civic Center, then another one would be Chicago Amphitheater, and the other one would be the Expo in Indianapolis. So every Saturday, I would go to St. Louis, for Mushnick, so he'd book us there. So we'd be somewhere big, and that night, even your opening match, hey, you get 150 $150. Well, right there, you take the $150, brother, or $125, you know, it depends. But, you know, first match. Well, you're making in one night what you did the other boys in a regular job. And then you add them other 20 and 35, and hey, you ended up with like around $200. So you're doubling.
Sure.
See?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And gas was cheap. And hey, man, hey, you know, I'd bring my sandwiches, man, you know, make the trip and come home every night. And that's how we did it. And that's how it works. But yeah, the boys didn't make much money, some of them. And it's just, it was everything's timing in life, you know.
Sure.
And, yeah, you bet.
Well, and part of that is in 77, right, when you're working for Bruiser, that's when you started going down Mondays for Memphis. Bruiser was letting you go down. That led to that, right, which you became a huge star in Memphis. But ultimately, yeah, you end up leaving Bruiser in 77. Kind of you worked for him, later in the late 80s. But yeah. Was there any hard feelings with you and Bruiser when you left in 77? Because Bruiser has kind of been known to hold some grudges.
Never. No, sir.
Okay.
No, and after he passed away, Rio told me, and he says, Bruiser loved you so much. And he says, you know what he told me so many times, Jimmy? He says, I wish I had 12 of them Jimmy Valiants, because I was always early. I worked hard as I could. My interviews, brother, man, I used to cook, man, and hey, so many guys could outwork me as far as whatever. But interviews, you know, I had the charisma. I had just like, hey, Dusty Rhodes, same thing. Hey, superstar Billy Graham. Hey, all of us guys, we got it over with our interviews, brother, man. You know,
sure.
Dick the Bruiser would be, hey, in one night, he'd beat me, brother, man. He'd beat Roski. He'd beat Heenan. He'd beat Ernie Ladd. Roski, he'd beat us all. And then the next week, we'd just go and beat the kids. We just squash them. We wouldn't give them nothing on TV. And then I'd get on an interview and I'd say, everybody seen how I beat Dick the Loser. And the people at home, oh, you dirty. I was there. Yeah, he beat you all. Oh, and so much. We'd get all the heat back from just, beating the kids on TV and doing them interviews, see? So, that's how that worked.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. I mean, again, Boogie, there's so much we could talk about with your career, right? The runs in New York, the runs in Memphis, the Carolinas, your schools, your camps, the independent. We could talk for hours. I highly urge everybody to go out, reach out to you, get your book where it covers all that stuff. So many great stories in there.
Yeah,
like you mentioned earlier, right? You recently wrestled your final match, but you're still out there doing signings. You have your camp, like you talked about. How can fans follow you, stay in touch, and know where you're going to be and how they can meet Boogie Woogie Man?
Just Google Jimmy Valiant and a thousand things will pop up, and my camp, my address, and my email is jimmyvaliant@outlook.com. jimmyvaliant@outlook.com. And Dave, and then my website is jimmyvaliant.weebly.com. L-Y. And so there's two dots there, jimmyvaliant.weebly.com.
So
check that way, or just put Jimmy Valiant in there, and Dave, I want to tell you, brother, man, keep doing what you're doing, and my lovely wife, Angel, she makes outfits for people, and you'll see that on the Weebly site. So check everything out, and just come be my guest anytime. And including you, Dave, man, I'd love to, you to be here, brother, man. And if you're ever in Virginia, brother, man, just come, and the address will shoot right out at you when you Google.
Yeah.
I want to just talk to the people, man. Woo, Messy Daddy! I'll tell my people, my brother and sister, don't you dare miss one of these hot Dave Dynasty shows, baby, because it's the hottest thing in the nation, baby. I love you, Dave. God bless you, man. And you're same my you, buddy, Boogie. Brother. Hey, we got to do this again. We will. And hey, brother, I owe you, man. I owe you. And I'll tell you something. Just keep up the good work, and I'll do it on my end, brother, man. Just the pro wrestling is what's happening. And I want to also, you know, say that I'm I help out the Relay for Life. You know, I've been their spokesman for in here in Virginia for 15 years, and these are all cancer survivors. And I want to help out, you know, just the Special Olympics, anything I can do. I got time now, and I just love people. Yeah. I'm a people person, and I love Jesus. You know, the devil had me 10 years during the part of my career, buddy, but I'm back with the Lord, and I got a lovely wife, Angel, and she takes care of me, brother, man, and I take care of her, and hey, we just, it's a happy time up here in Virginia for the handsome Jimmy, the Boogie Woogie.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate your time.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to the Boogie Woogie Man for coming on and giving me that interview. I hope to talk to Handsome Jimmy again in the future, hear more stories. Again, there's so many more chapters to his career that I'd love to talk to him about. But I could spend just so much more time just talk to him about the WWE in Indianapolis alone. So hopefully I'll get to talk to Jimmy again in the future. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media on pretty much any platform. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty and you can find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. Again, look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty and you'll find me. And go check out all the other WrestleCopia Network podcasts. You can find the individual shows on your favorite podcast platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. And while you're checking things out, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account, and then download the app on all of your smart devices. Okay, guys, it's been a busy time. We got a holiday weekend. As I'm recording this, I'm getting ready to wrap this up, get it up there in advance before the holiday weekend, before the Memorial Day weekend. I'm doing some traveling over the holiday weekend. So very, very busy times. Watch social media for the announcement about next episode. I'm not 100% sure. I may have to take a week off, again, because of the holiday, because of the traveling. So, again, just watch social media. You'll get all the info there on whether there will be an episode, and if there is, who the guests will be, etc. So, thank you once again, guys, for joining me. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Make sure you subscribe, all that good stuff. And remember, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.